ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So we are studying the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In our yesterday's class I have given you, just to remember, and to salute the author of this greatest of the Upanishads, who is called Vajasaneya, or he is also called Muni, Rishi, Yajnavalkya. Salutations, Namaha, Rishibhyo, Parama Rishibhyaha. Having saluted, this is part of the Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna. Now, we have to listen carefully what these rishis have got to say. That is also part of the Rishi Yajna. And if we have understood, to give it to someone who deserves it, who is in need of it, if we can pass on, that is also part of the Rishi Yajna that we have to perform. There is no other choice. So, every Veda, as we know, has its own Shanti Mantra. The very word Shanti Mantra indicates that it is a mantra, a prayer that, O Lord, first of all, let there be no obstructions. Second, there should not be any lacuna, something lacking, body-wise, external, world-wise, mental-wise. Thirdly, it is also a prayer for the removal of ignorance in the form of obstructive samskaras. So we have to replace these unspiritual, non-spiritual samskaras through proper samskaras. Lastly, we have to surrender ourselves to God. Surrendering to God is possible only by the grace of God. This is to be understood very clearly. One cannot surrender, because to surrender, one requires an effort made by this ego, ahankara, that I belong to you. Even that consciousness, I am and I belong to you, also is only by the grace of God. Therefore, complete surrender is possible only by the grace of God. That's why Girish Chandra Ghosh had not surrendered to Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna graciously asked him, you surrender yourself to me. By my grace alone, you will be able to surrender to me. So these are called Shanti Mantras. Shanti also, as we all know, is called peace. So, we do not have peace. That means we have got non-peace. And there are three sources of non-peace. They are called from, it could be from our body and mind, from our personality, from our life. It could be from the external world. If the obstruction comes from within ourselves, it is called Adhyatmika. And if it comes from external world, that is called Adhibhautika. And if it comes by the infinite grace of God in the form of difficulties from presiding deities, that is called Adhibhautika. So, we have no other way excepting praying to God. It's only your grace which can avert and save me from these three sources of affliction, tapatraya, Abhighata. So that is usually the prayer. And then if that prayer comes from the bottom of our heart, God certainly responds. Sri Ramakrishna assures us, if the prayer is sincere from the bottom of the heart, God's grace must, that is a law. When the receiver is ready, then the one who gives, the giver, is always ready. So what happens then? The person who has been given the grace of God becomes ready absolutely to receive the grace of God, and it comes in the form of God himself, but assuming an appropriate form so that we can revere him, worship him, serve him, question him, and convey our doubts to him. Such a person usually is called a guru. Out of his infinite grace, God, through the instrumentality of the guru, initiates into the very first step. Until this time, the journey is to reach where that first step lies. But once we reach through all these efforts and prayers, and solely by the grace of God, then the first step is called Shravana. We have to listen. What does the guru teach? So his main teaching is only one. Every guru teaches only one thing. There is no special, separate, something different preached by different gurus. Every guru ultimately tells us, your goal is to know yourself. And that is the goal. For that, you will have to listen to me. And then you have to practice remembering it, molding your life accordingly. That is called manana. The process of manana is to remove every lingering doubt. And then the person, once he is convinced, then that very conviction of that person leads him to transform his life. That is called nididhyasana. That is why in our tradition we believe Shravana is the important part. Manana and nididhyasana is to realize what we have heard from the guru. So that is what is being said here. What does the guru teach? That in your real nature, you are God. Each soul is potentially divine. You are a soul. Therefore, you are potentially divine. And you have forgotten that you are divine. So I am here to remind you that you have to remember you are potentially divine. You are a prince. You have forgotten you are a prince. You have been kidnapped by this robber called Maya. Now, because of your great good fortune, the way you lived, that is what has brought God's grace to you. And God comes and says, come my child, you belong to me. That is called Upadesha. You belong to me is a dualistic language. You are me. There is no difference between you and me. And that is called Upadesha. Swami Vivekananda illustrates this by giving the parable of the lion and a lion which fell as a baby into a flock of sheep and then influenced by them started eating grass, bleating like a sheep and thinking I am the sheep. But one day the guru lion comes and drags him and says, thrusts a piece of meat, very poetical, dramatic way of explaining. When Swamiji gives talks, his talk goes straight into the heart. It thrust a piece of meat, and once the grown-up lion who thought that I am a sheep has tasted that piece of meat, suddenly it remembered, I am a lion. Then it gave a big roar. What is that roar? Aham Brahmasmi. There is nobody else. I am the whole lot. Ahamannam, ahamannam, ahamannam.
अहम वृक्षस्य रेरिवा कीर्तिम पृष्ठ गिरेरिवा ऑल दीज स्टेटमेंट्स आर देयर इन दी उपनिषद्स इन दी तैतरीय अहम वृक्षस्य रेरिवा सो दैट इज द गोल सो दैट महावाक्य देर आर मेनी महावाक्यास आई स्पोकन अबाउट देम बट आउट ऑफ द ग्रेट नंबर ऑफ महावाक्यास वन महावाक्य इज चोजन बाई वन वेद and then that Upanishad which it teaches has become very popular and this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Mahavakya is Aham Brahmasmi and when first time we hear that we become frightened my experience is different I am nothing not anything else but Brahman as Brahman means I am the only one Ekam Eva Advitiyam There is nobody besides me. But my experience is, there are number of things. So therefore the Guru says, your experience is false. The truth is quite different. You are the only one. And this is beautifully illustrated. We will talk in course of time. That is Mahavakya, which teaches the word that Tat Tvam Asi. And this is a Mahavakya. पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ओम शान्तिः 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 सो एवरी उपनिषद हैज टू बी स्टार्टेड विथ ए शांति पाठ एंड देयर इज सम पिक्युलियरिटी हियर अनलाइक द अदर शांति पाठस हियर लेट माय लिम्स बी स्ट्रांग एंड हेल्दी लेट माय माइंड बी फुल ऑफ Upanishadic qualities which alone can enable me to realize I am Brahman. All these prayers are over. But here simply the essence of this entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is given in this form. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. We will very briefly explore it. Even this very brief one requires a little bit of explanation. Since we have heard it so many times, where did we hear? When we explored Isavasya Upanishad, then the Shanti Mantra is there. Actually, this Shanti Mantra doesn't come at the beginning of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It only comes at the beginning of the fifth chapter of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. As we mentioned, mainly it is divided into three parts. Again, they are subdivided into two parts of each main three parts. So, 3 into 2 is 6. Only at the beginning of the fifth, this particular Purnamadaha is inserted there. And Shankaracharya gives a beautiful commentary there. And that commentary, in the light of Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, that we will try to explore. First, we have to remember the knowledge of Advaita, That the last word in spiritual attainment. Advaita means I am Brahman. Sri Ramakrishna categorically tells it many times, in many ways. And one of his other teaching is, first attain Advaita. And with that knowledge, do whatever you like. You want to marry? You marry 1,000 women. Doesn't matter. Because once you know you are Advaita, You know that everything is God. Everybody is God. You are God. Your wives are God. Everything is God. So, then there is no question of attached, detached. All these problems do not arise at all. That was the reply Sri Ramakrishna gives to some of the objections of the householders. First, let them get married and then After enjoying, after discharging their duties, meaning inside, that after tasting the pleasures of this world, body, mind, etc., then that would be the right time. Usually, they're right also. That would be the right time also. That is why Vanaprastha Ashrama is withdrawing or changing from the samsaric transiting. From the worldly life to spiritual life. That is the beautiful definition of Vanaprasthashrama. But Sri Ramakrishna says that once a person starts enjoying, there is every likelihood that this person will get attached, becomes drowned in the ocean of samsara. And very few people have the capacity to come to the surface. Therefore, it is first better to get a deep knowledge of what is the reality and then get married, so that saves both intellectually and experientially the person. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna taught to all of his devotees, that first you lead a spiritual life, then not only a person doesn't lose worldly happiness, he attains higher happiness, which includes the lower happiness also. In many of the devotees' mind, there is this dichotomy. First dichotomy is worldly happiness and spiritual happiness are poles apart, completely opposed to each other. Second misnomer that comes is that the amount of worldly pleasure is far superior to the spiritual pleasure. Even if it is superior, it is only got after a long time. Whereas worldly happiness is instantaneous. You want to enjoy a sweet now, enjoy it right now, immediately. Whereas spirituality, after so many years, you might enjoy it. So now the scriptures teach us that we have to perform our dharma, and then only the vanaprasthashrama. They argue, the householders argue. Even our rishis, munis say, first comes grihasthashrama, then only comes vanaprastha and sannyasashrama. We are well aware of it. So one should not become too spiritual. A little bit of spirituality to spice the worldly enjoyment is very good actually. It enhances the flavor of the worldly happiness. But then Sri Ramakrishna says, this is absolute wrong knowledge. First of all, you get spiritual knowledge, and with every spiritual happiness, the quality of the worldly happiness becomes qualitatively and quantitatively more and more. But it will take time for us to understand. So this particular Shanti Mantra, it is squeezing the very essence. If someone were to ask, sir, this is a very big Upanishad, we don't have time even for the smallest of the Upanishads. By the way, the smallest of the Upanishads are two. First, the shortest Upanishad, consisting of only 12 mantras, is the Mandukya Upanishad. Second, Isavasya Upanishad, which is about 18 mantras. But they are one of the toughest mantras, Upanishads. As I said, one should not start with, one is advised not to start with Isavasya as well as Mandukya, even tougher than that. But one can safely start with what we call Katha Upanishad, then Mundaka Upanishad, then there are other Upanishads like Aitareya, and then come to other Upanishads according to Isavasya or Mandukya or Kena Upanishad. Even Mandukya is tougher than, some people say, even Brihadaranyaka and Chandukya Upanishads. Anyway, the point is, this is a Mahavakya, and we will try to explore this Mahavakya. And this is what really means Aham Brahmasmi. That Mahavakya comes in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So what does it mean? Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. I am the divine. How can I be the divine? Because when we see in this world, what is the first thing we see in this world? We are the individuals. There are billions and billions of individuals. If we count not only human beings, non-human living beings, then the what is called non-living things, who can count? So that is the idea one has got. How can I be Brahman? Brahman is one. We have, as I mentioned earlier, even the most illiterate person ever cherishes four ideas about God. God is everywhere. God knows everything. God is all-powerful. He can do whatever He likes. And He is all-merciful. And this is in practice, albeit unconsciously, of every, even the most illiterate, so-called illiterate person. But consciously, the person doesn't think about those things. So, I am an individual. I know very little. My powers are extremely limited. As a baby, even when a mosquito or a small ant, red ant, wants to bite me, I have no defense against it. I can only cry until my mother or somebody comes and then removes that. I am completely defenseless. So, how can I be that Brahman? So, this mantra, this Shanti Patha tells us about that, Aham Brahmasmi. How can I be Brahman? For that, this Shanti Patha is very useful. So, let us explore statement by statement. So, we have to divide this mantra into three parts. Purnam Adaha is one part. Purnam Idam, these two together, is one part. Purnat Purnam Udachyate is the second part. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnameva Avasishyate, this is the third part. Let us try to understand what it means. So, first of all, let us, Purnam Adaha. Adaha means that. That means whatever is at a distance. Here, it doesn't mean that it is at a distance, excepting in a metaphorical sense. Because suppose there is a hill, and you point out and say, that is a hill. I am able to see, I am able to experience that hill. And here is my mother. She is right here. Idam means this. So, these words do not really tally, because neither idam is full, nor adaha is also full. Adaha means that which is avyakta, unmanifest, indivisible. And what it means is the cause, the original cause, also called Brahman or Atman, or called God in popular language, who is the ultimate cause. We have seen Svatat Svayam Akuruta. In Taittiriya Upanishad, we have seen as one of the seven reasons, I am made myself Sukurutam. I have made myself very well. What was the meaning we got there? I am the final cause. And don't question, because if you question what is my cause, then you are delegating me into the field of an effect. No, that is not the meaning. That is the final cause. Adaha means that infinite which is invisible. In other words, it is unmanifest. These are technical terms. Even in Bhagavad Gita also it is used. Avyakta advyaktaya sarve. So everything has come before a baby is born, is coming from the unmanifest. After death also, that so-called individual baby, you need not call him baby, that individual goes back from where he has come, came from the invisible, unmanifest, and he went back into the unmanifest. Birth means from the unmanifest to become manifest. Death means going from the manifested state into the unmanifested state. And then, lest we think that God is a limited being, it is said it is Purnam. Purna means infinite. Adaha means that invisible final cause from which this whole universe has come, that is infinite. We have to keep in mind that word, infinite. And we have to think a little bit deeply, what is infinite? We use the word finite and infinite. And if we use, we cannot use both actually. Either something is finite or something is infinite. There is no question of finite and finite infinite or infinite infinite. It doesn't make any sense. So we have to understand that properly, very properly. So here, adaha, that invisible, that truth, which is beyond the sense organs, that is called purnam. Purnam means full. Full means infinite. Nothing is lacking. So that is infinite. And another name for that infinite, infinite means the biggest. Biggest is also called infinite. And Brahman is called infinite. The root etymological meaning of Brahman is Brahmadhatu. The root Brahm means that which is the largest. Largest is not an adjective, Viseshana. It is Viseshya. Brahman is infinite. Infinity is not a quality of Brahman. It is Brahman itself. What does it mean? Any quality can be separated. Suppose a person is good. We call him good person. But sometimes, for whatever reason, he may not exhibit his goodness. He will exhibit his wickedness, evilness. Then that quality, that which can change, is called a quality. And that quality is, in the early morning, a beautiful pink rose is absolutely perfect. But as the day progresses, it fades. That's why we don't relish that which is faded rose. An old person is not appreciated much. So everything has got its prime time. So similarly, that which an adjective is that which helps us to separate, to point out one particular object, and we separate that particular object to identify it as that object by separating it from every other object, and that process of separation is possible only because of the adjectives. It is a blue flower, so it excludes. It is not a red flower or green flower or white flower. Small flower excludes from bigness. It is a double petaled flower, excludes from every single petaled flower, etc. So the more adjectives, the more accurate knowledge we have of that object. So Brahman is infinite. There is nothing other than Brahman, which automatically means that everything that we experience, the experiencer and the experienced, the subject as well as the object, must be nothing else, excepting that infinity only. But because of our mind, whatever we think about infinite is only finite. The extent of the mind is finite, limited. A limited cannot even imagine what is unlimited. That's why avang manasa gocharam. So purnam adaha, the final cause, that which is invisible, avyakta, unmanifest, called also Brahman, called God, by whatever blessed name you call it, the final cause. Why do we call it a cause? Because the whole universe is an effect. That is going to follow in the next word. So once we understand Brahman is infinite, we have to understand in this world, which is so-called effect, appearing as effect, not really an effect, because a cause and an effect are two separate concepts. Milk is separate, curds are separate. You can't equate them together, even though it is the cause. But the final cause is manifest, just as clay can become any number of pots, but there is no effect, real effect called pot. Everything is only clay. For example, you remove clay, every least bit of clay from any given pot. What remains? Nothing remains. Then what is this pot? Same clay with a particular form and given a particular name to distinguish it from others, and serves a particular purpose, nama, rupa, and prayojana, utility. That is called an effect. But it is not a separate thing. but it is distinguishable from other effects. And every effect is nothing but the original cause. Every ornament is nothing but gold, as an example. So, if somebody has a diamond studded necklace, then the diamond is separate, has nothing to do with gold. Therefore, it is a separate object, and an object can be separated if it is not the same. So, clay is not the diamond. Diamond is not the clay. It can be separated. But whatever golden is there, ornament is there, that is not different from gold. Only nama, rupa, prayojana, as I said, that is the only difference. So, if the cause is infinite, the effect must be infinite. But the scripture wants to tell us that the effect is also part of the mithya. Mithya means, say, here is clay, that is called the cause. Here is a pot. Where is our emphasis when we look at the pot? We are not thinking, this is clay, this is clay, this is clay. We are thinking, what a beautiful pot, what is a big pot, and I can do so many things here. I can cook, and I can also store, and I can hide many things inside it, etc., etc. We are not thinking about what is the real nature of the pot. We are only thinking the utility part of the pot. It is beautiful pot. It is very old Chinese pot, and it is invaluable pot because it is made so many thousands of years ago, etc., etc. But the reality is, it is nothing but its cause. Every effect is nothing but its cause. So therefore, idam means that which is manifest, that which is visible, that which is interactable, that which is what is called transactional, and that which is experienceable, and that which brings about an effect when we experience something, all these things is fall under the category of idam. This means whatever falls within our five sense organs, including the mind, that is called the manifest universe, and we are part of the universe. So this is the what is called exoteric meaning, not esoteric meaning. Exoteric means a physical understanding, external meaning, also called vachyartha. Vachyartha, when we use sentences, speech, and many times we use it in different ways. So there is something called vachyartha, and there is something called lakshyartha. I gave you many times, but it is worth repeating. Suppose you and your neighbor have just come out of the respective gates of your homes, and you don't have a car. Your neighbor has a car, and he just started the car, or about to start, and you go up to him and say, where are you going? Of course, the person understands why you are asking. But if I am going to your office, that side, to the side where, in the direction of your office, can you please give me, drop me near my office, somewhere near my office? He says, yes, come in. I am going that way only. I will drop you near your office. What was the question? Where are you going? The person is least interested where the other person is going. He was interested whether he can give me a ride. Understanding where you are going is called vachyartha. And the reply will be lakshyartha. I will drop you. Please sit down. And sometimes we use vachyartha. That is absolutely fine according to the situation. But many times, albeit unconsciously, we use this word lakshyartha, but we mean like that. For example, so you know, mom, you have cooked this curry. It is so tasty. That is called vachyartha. What is the lakshyartha? You give me more. I like it so much. I enjoyed it so much. I want another two, three servings if possible. That is what really the man's intention. But I don't say that directly. So, that Brahman is the cause, and Brahman is infinite, and infinite cannot give to rise to finiteness. Impossible. That means infinite cannot be separated, cut into pieces. That is called infinite. And there is no cutter. There is no action of cutting. There is no person who can cut, because it is infinite. So that Brahman cause is infinite. This visible universe, which we are all experiencing, is also manifest, visible, experienceable, interactable, transactional. This is also and must be full, because the effect must have all the characteristics of the cause only. That is what we have to understand here. This is the external meaning, exoteric meaning, not esoteric meaning. What is the real meaning? So let me explain. I see this world. I see you. I see a tree. I see an animal. This will do for the example, as an example. So I see a tree. The person who sees the eye, the person who sees the man, the person who sees the dog and the tree and everything else included, is only one person. But what is experienced, seen, can be many, many. So this person who is experiencing, how is he experiencing? Through his consciousness. I am conscious this is a person. I am conscious this is a tree. I am conscious this is a dog. They are all different. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this is the subject. Sarva kshetreshu. There are countless number of kshetras, are objects, experienceable things. But kshetragna, kshetragnan chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. But the kshetragna, gna, the knower of the every field, every object is only one. So consciousness is one, and what it experiences can be as many as possible. So who is that is experiencing? I. And I means what? Body cannot experience without consciousness. Mind cannot experience without consciousness. Therefore, the only conclusion is body-mind experience, which we call jivatma, with the help of the consciousness. Consciousness is quite separate, nothing to do with body-mind. In fact, body-mind are also objects. We objectify. This is my body. My, the moment you say my, it becomes an object of experience. And the moment I say my mind is happy, my mind is unhappy. And therefore, pure consciousness, but experienced only through this one particular body and mind, is called jivatma. And the same thing we have to attribute. Brahman is pure consciousness. He is of infinite consciousness. And his infinite consciousness is unmanifest, because there is no second. But this jiva's consciousness is limited, so we think. Not really limited, because we are identified with body-mind. We think we are limited. You have your own consciousness. A dog has its own consciousness. But it's a grave mistake. Consciousness, dog consciousness, man consciousness, tree consciousness, my consciousness, there is no such division. Small consciousness, blue consciousness, sweet consciousness, bitter consciousness, there is no such thing. But when the same consciousness identifies, then it is called, this is sweet, this is good, this is desirable, this is not desirable. They are the thoughts of the mind, not thoughts of the consciousness. That's why I can say, my mind is thinking, it is bitter, my mind is thinking, it is sweet, etc. So, the intended meaning is, Brahman is infinite, me the jiva, necessarily must be infinite. So, jiva, brahma, aikya. Then what do we say? How did I come to be a jiva? Because I am an effect. Therefore, the effect must always have a cause. And therefore, purnat, from that infinite, as if, really as if it happened, Purnam Udachyate. So this visible universe, including consciousness also, so seems to have come from that one cause, because it is one cause. If it is one cause, then everybody, everything must have come from that only. Purnat Purnam Udachyate, as if this has come out of that. And again, this has come out of that. That is a thought. And that thought is because of the inability of the mind to understand, because infinite cannot be understood. Therefore, the Rishi wants to tell us, even though it appears, this infinite universe is as an effect, and it seems to have come out from that cause. Really speaking, infinite cannot be the cause, infinite cannot be the effect. Therefore, Purnasya Purnam Adaya. Even though this infinite seems to have come from that infinite, even though this universe seems to have come from that Brahman, which is infinite, even though me, the Jiva, seem it as if it has come from that infinite Purusha, Purnam Eva Avasishyate. The real understanding, the truth, the reality is that only that Brahman alone is the truth. Avasishyate means what remains after all this calculation. And Brahman alone is, even though these are all appearances. And this is the highest truth. Of course, we are not in that position to really understand. Therefore, we have to do manana. Manana is the process of clarifying the doubts in the mind. And nididhyasana is to follow what I am convinced of without slipping into all these ignorant actions, wanting the result of actions, wanting only the happy actions, avoiding the unhappy results. All those things have to be given. That means my behavior becomes purely spiritual behavior. And then my mind becomes slowly full, concentrated, expanded, understanding becomes better, I grow sattva guna, and then I will have a glimpse, and a glimpse will pull me forever into it. But for that also, there may be obstacles from my own body, mind, from the external world, and from gods, etc. Therefore, may God be gracious. May God be gracious in the form of my Guru's grace, and by the grace of my Guru, who is none other than Brahman, may these obstructions help me, not to destroy me, but help me, so that those very obstructions may help me to move forward in the form of producing this passion, etc. These are the most essential meaning we discussed today. Some minor points may be there. We might discuss them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.